What's good, everybody? Man, welcome to another episode of the Back Row Redskins Show. Hey, I got a special guest for you guys tonight. This is my guy, Adam Aniba, from the Burgundy and Gold Report. This guy right here knows the stuff. He writes the best articles, Washington football, draft expert. Mr. Adam, man, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. So it's been too long, man. Just love chopping it up right now, man. You know, it's a crazy time right now in Washington. We're just seeing, you know, all the quarterbacks, all the shaking moves. So, man, there's always a lot to talk about, man.
Absolutely, man. And, hey, this episode right here is special because we're going to be talking about fixing the football team. This is Fixing the Football Team 1.0. We're going to have lots more guests coming on to kind of give us how we can fix the football team. So, glaring need, quarterback. Yes, sir. What do you see us doing, draft and free agency?
Well, let's start with free agency since it's going to come first. I think, you know, we've seen the Cam Newton of Washington. You know, more people are for it. There's people that are against it. But I'm right in that middle section that I look what's the most realistic situation right now. And I'll be honest with you, Cam Newton of Washington does seem logical because you've already got two quarterbacks that come from that system. They swung and they missed on Matt Stafford. So unlike last year with Amari Cooper, I think they do have a backup plan, and I think the backup plan will be through free agency. Cam Newton right now is who I have the highest level of certainty that he'll come. My other guy is Teddy Bridgewater, but Teddy Bridgewater has to be a level of dominoes fall. And if we're believing what we're hearing coming out of Houston, that Carolina and them could be the trade partners. And if that happens, the assumption is Teddy Bridgewater will go to Houston, but I think it'd be more logical that they try to trade him first to add that chip to the trade. So those are my two guys right there, Teddy Bridgewater in a potential trade, Cam Newton as a free agent. As far as the draft, number 19, I just don't see, you know, it worth the squeeze to, you know, trade multiple first rounds to move up, unless you're getting Lawrence or Wilson. Those are the two guys I feel that can come in. They can start the season, maybe take some of their lumps. Although I really like Trey Lance. I like Fields. I think those guys will need some time. So free agency, the plan I laid out, I think that's probably the most likely right now.
Okay. And the interesting thing is I've been seeing a lot of mocks out there, and I'm seeing a scenario where Wilson falls. It's crazy. I know the Jets are going to take Wilson. I mean, you'll be stupid to not take Wilson. You know, to me, I think, like, just like you said, he is ready. Matter of fact, he's my favorite quarterback out of all the quarterbacks out there. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is the best player. But Zach Wilson, to me, has that Mahomes-type feel, Mahomes-type swag. Like, you see him roll out, jump, throw the ball off of one leg. Right. I mean, talk to me about Zach Wilson a little bit. Educate the all the people out there that are listening.
I'm glad you said it. As far as the Pat Mahomes and the reason, and again, it's not coming for, you know, out of the blue. What it is, you know, the Coastal Carolina was a good game because I like to see when quarterbacks struggle, how they respond. And although they lost that game, we have to understand BYU has next to no talent. So as good as they did, it was all Zach Wilson. There's not that many teams in the nation that you can say are purely quarterback driven. There's always a second guy, a redshirt freshman, somebody waiting in the wings. What he did against Coastal Carolina, you know, we saw the no look crossbody to the side. That was my aha moment when I said this guy can be really good. Glad you mentioned the Jets. I think they have two plans. I think the Jets with their new coach Salah, I think he wants to invest all around. So I see a scenario where someone could jump up and take Wilson, but also I see the same scenario where the Jets can trade back, roll for Donner for a year, and just get multiple first round picks, players, and try to go from there. So I do. They're stupid not to, but they could be stupid if they get a huge load, because for whoever's moving up to two, this quarterback needy could be, you know, we're hearing with the Houston trade with three first rounds, two defensive starters. I still think the move up in the draft, the point system is going to go out the window this year. I think we're going to see four quarterbacks in the top 10. And I think in round one, we're going to see six go. And I've said this before, you know, it's been a little presumptuous, but we're seeing how high Mac Jones is getting prompted right now. I'm an Alabama fan. He's not a first rounder. Neither is Kyle Trask. But there's the supply and demand. And right now, there's not enough supply for demand. So I hear, you know, Wilson's the great option, but there's nowhere feasible for Washington. I think Washington's best bet is to stay where they are or move back. But this is not the year to find your quarterback. It's about the bridge. This is year 2021 is the year of the bridge quarterback.
Okay. So out of the six quarterbacks that potentially can go first round, who are your four guys that go top 10? Okay. We know two of them, obviously, but
yeah, Lawrence, Wilson. And I've caught a lot of slack for this, and I do put Trey Lance ahead of Fields. And the reason I do that is it's a lot of projection involved, because you look at the college tape, there's a lot more out there on Fields. Mm-hmm. But there's also out there is a lot of issues with Fields. You know, we saw in the championship game, he made a lot of nice throws, but he's still missing a lot of reads. Lance, there's a lot more projection going on, but his raw ability, we've seen running quarterbacks, we've seen the label, this and that. But, man, this guy's ducking his shoulder. He's running over people. People question level of competition. But I've seen the impromptu that makes me have him as the third, short answer. Field, I do have him as fourth by default. I like him, but I'm not projecting him to have a great pro career unless he goes into a perfect system that's willing to do everything around him. And that includes taking what Ohio State did. I just don't think he is quite as cerebral as someone like Lance is. I think you look at the level of competition, but if you've actually go back and do the research, Doug, listen to him. He's a film junkie. The guy is all about, he can sit there and go through every system with you, even though it's not what he's running. So those are my four guys in the beginning. Like I said, after that, you start to get into Mac, Trask, you know, you start to even go farther down. So I said, you know, Wilson and Lance, Wilson and Lawrence, those are the clear shots. But people are going to jump up, and I think that Lance and Fields are going to get drafted maybe a little earlier than they should, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is a quarterback-hungry draft, and if you look at the teams that are, like, within that top 10, top 15, if you want a quarterback, you're going to have to trade into the top 15.
For sure.
You know, a guy like Mac Jones can possibly go to the Patriots. Yes. I mean, you got the Saints out there. There's a scenario where – you can see what happened to Jordan Love, where a team says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to draft this guy, and I'll just go ahead and stash. You know what I'm saying? Draft and stash and maybe sit a year and then, you know, possibly playing. So it's just pretty cool to kind of see how things shake out. Now, in terms of free agency for the football team, right, you have Cam Newton, which I'm not a fan of, but hey, I'm going to support whatever that Ron Rivera does, because we have seen Ron Rivera and Scott Turner make some pretty good, you know, decisions. Like, I wasn't for J.D. McKissick. I wasn't for Logan Thomas. I felt like we were shopping at, you know, Walmart. I mean, the Dollar General instead of shopping at Walmart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we hit on so many free agent acquisitions, including Ronald Darby, which we're going to get into in a minute. But the amazing thing is, okay, so outside of Cam Newton and possibly Teddy Bridgewater is a guy like you look at him. I mean, I've seen what he can do.
Right.
Okay. But when you look at Taylor Heineke and you look at a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who is mobile enough,
right,
who can possibly will definitely fit in that system. So it makes Teddy Bridgewater intriguing. Even if we do trade for Teddy Bridgewater, I talked about it in the last pod. I would say he's probably a fourth round pick, might get it done. What do you think?
I think that if they're seriously going to be in the Watson sweepstakes, they're going to really try to get, you know, a package of maybe a third plus out of it, because I think that they're just going to throw whatever they have. I think you're going to see the Ricky Williams trade put to shame with this one, because it's going to get done. There's the long shot that it might not get done before the draft and it'll be for next year. I just don't see it happening. But yeah, I think you're on the right track with a fourth round. I think it could be, you know, third and a fifth. It could be a fourth and a conditional third next. Just remember conditionals. That's going to be the key term we're hearing this year. A ton of conditional picks next year. The salary cap's going to skyrocket next year. More short-term deals. So look for a lot of that going on there as well.
Okay, good deal. My favorite position, anybody who knows me knows that I love the wide receivers. And I can't wait to get into the wide receiver draft talk. But in terms of a free agency standpoint, yes, we have fifth most money, right, in free agency, but with COVID,
right,
every team have lost money. Am I correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're losing money. So what are – so Redskins – I mean, Washington football team number is at what? Is it a 30
– It was at 35 and change, but then, you know, keep in mind the Alex Smith situation. He's not – that right now the salary cap is based on that $23 million hit. They don't have to do that. They can cut him. They can, you know, forget the trade, but they can cut him or they can come to him renegotiate. And I think if they cut him, it would be about a $10 million hit. So I think you can look at that cap getting closer to around 43, 44. But the situation with Alex Smith is really complicated. I think him coming out in the media now is showing that he's gone. He's either cut. I don't think he's – but the thing is, I don't see who's going to want to bring him in as even a backup. But he's complicated in the situation. We really had a good flow, you know, and I think this is the beginning, unfortunately, of a little drama that Washington will have to deal with. Alex Smith's a good guy, so hopefully that, you know, that little dig in the media and all that, that's going to be, they're going to move on from that. But the thing is, you know, you mentioned Taylor Heinicke. I really like him too. It's the limited games. I really like him. To me, I think he can be one of the best backups and potentially a starter if need be. Right now, you know, we talk about Teddy Bridgewater. You know, a lot of people want to say it's easy to say, okay, bring guys in that you think are close to the system. You know, Matt Rhule's running something totally different in Carolina.
Right, absolutely.
Think you have to look what Teddy did in Minnesota. You look what he did in Louisville, and that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at all these factors, looking what he does well. A lot of people think if Washington's a quarterback, they have to be a running quarterback. They don't have to be a running quarterback, but they have to be mobile enough to get out of the pocket, roll left, roll right. Because you could see when Heinicke was in the game, Turner felt comfortable. It was not comfortable when Alex Smith was doing that. So I think whoever you get, that's why I think I'm zeroing on the guys that I mentioned, Cam Newton, because I don't think he's so bad. What we saw in New England, I just think that was a situation where Bill Belichick says, everyone knows it is a very complicated system. And I think a lot of things that he did not play to Cam Newton's strength. I think Washington can do that. And again, people just need to accept that you can't find that savior every year. And this has been going on. And I'll say, as a fan, it's been Joe Theismann. We won, you know, Washington won Super Bowls. That was Doug Williams. That was Mark Rip. These were over-the-hill veterans that were done.
Right.
So Washington is not used to doing this. So, you know, slow and steady. They're doing it the right way, through the trenches. Don't be impatient. Bridge quarterback with Heinicke as a backup. Man, there's no reason that they can't be a 10-11 win team with it. Everyone is looking at the schedule and saying, well, they're going to take backwards if they don't get a franchise.
I'm not worried about the schedule. It's also
assuming that all these teams are going to be where they were or better last year. It never happens.
Exactly. So,
you know, I think you just really have to focus on your weak spots on defense and your skill positions on offense, and then try to get competent quarterback play.
Okay. So let's just say that the team drafts a quarterback in the third to fifth round.
Okay.
What quarterbacks do you see the team drafting as? Maybe as a guy that you can groom and then eventually give a shot to start.
Well, you know, I wrote about him just a brief. I had five guys pre-Senior Bowl. Jamie Newman was a guy. He was a guy that everybody was looking to see more from when he went from Wake Forest to Georgia. But then, you know, he opted out. But then they took what he did at the Senior Bowl, the practice, everything, like, oh, this guy's crap. He's nothing. And the guy who's had a football for so long. The guy's a dual threat that can do a lot of good things. That's my guy right now. I've heard Kellen Mond's talked up a lot because he kind of looked good in that game. If we take the years, the past 2 years, we have to do that, not just the year. I want to take Newman, and I think if somehow they can pull that out in the fifth, I feel a lot better than maybe with that second, third round. But I can definitely see them using that second, third round on Newman if they really do like, you know, if they feel that, you know, he can come in, he can develop, and he's not just, you know, another Steven Montez that they would stash. Because I don't think that you bring him in, put him as your fourth quarterback and hope you better have a plan. So
right
now Kyle Allen is not signed to the roster, but with a $900,000 tag, they'd be stupid not to at least bring him back for camp. So they'll make a move in the draft, probably day three, fourth, fifth round seems logical.
Right. What I see is I see the team keeping three quarterbacks and maybe a guy that you put on a practice squad. I don't know how that really works with, you know, teams trying to steal your players. I don't know if you're going to be able to protect the players like they were able to do this season. I kind of love that rule where you kind of protect 3 to 5 guys every single week. That's awesome. So let's say, for example, Alex Smith is gone. He's gone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We need that $15 million off of him. So Alex is gone. Tyler Heinicke Taylor Heinicke right now is one that's on the roster for sure, right?
Right.
Then with Kyle Allen, like you said, you gotta bring him back in because he's just so cheap.
You can't get anybody that cheap that knows your system. Bottom line,
exactly. It's just too much value. It's just too much value. So whether he comes into camp to compete, whether they draft a guy, and then maybe they sign a veteran. So signing a veteran, Heinicke, and then you know Allen, and then maybe a guy in the draft. That's probably how it's gonna you know shake out. And then you have Kyle Allen and Heinicke fighting for the 3 and 2 and 3. With the rookie, trying to see if the rookie can, you know, earn a spot. Now, if the team does draft the rookie, is there any way possible? This might be a stupid question, but I got to ask it. Is there any way possible to keep four quarterbacks on the roster? How can they? No, right?
It's impossible. Three was a stretch this year. You know, like you said, you mentioned the practice squad where they were protecting Steven Montez. So they did it, but maybe there was some inclination that some team liked him or not. But really, when you put them on the practice squad, these are usually undrafted guys. Sometimes they're a seventh-round guy. But like you said, Kyle Allen, let's remember, they gave up a fifth round for him last year. So they're not going to give him a fifth round and walk. So he's in their plans. And what's crazy is, as fans, we're saying Taylor, Taylor, Taylor. But I think in that coaching room, they're saying, we're hoping Allen's going to take this job unless there's someone else.
Exactly. So
I think for once, it's been a while, we're going to see a real quarterback competition because they're just picked too late in the draft to get that guy. And they're just not their desirable level yet to get all those guys to come in. Like I said, defense, I'm confident. I think Chase Young, that guy's going to – he's going to get people to come here. But Terry McLaurin, he's not there yet to be that guy until he gets his quarterback. Once he gets his quarterback, him, Gibson, next guys, they're going to have a unit that can pitch our team. You know, it's slowly going to be an NBA feel. I've been saying this for years. A lot of fans, these old school guys out there, like, the players can't have this power. Well, listen, you want to pay people this much money, you have to give them power with it because money, the other team will pay them this much. So teams need to get with the program, just like Watson. If you're going to tell your player, you're going to be involved in the process. Do what you say. So things are going to be changing. Super teams are going to slowly be created. You will see. And it's going to be created when the cap goes up. Right now, it's but they're talking about $27 million next year. And I think the following year, we could see even more. So, man, it's a great time to be an NFL fan.
That's awesome. So what you're saying is it's either Kyle Allen, Taylor, and a veteran, or Kyle Allen, Taylor, and a rookie.
They're not a rookie. I don't unless somehow you miraculously get Wilson, Lance, or even Fields. Because we keep hearing all the Fields love. And I'll just say this in a nutshell. If we're hearing all this stuff, it's not good. It's usually not going to happen. Smoke screens. So I think, like I said, more than likely, veteran, Taylor, Allen, battle out in camp for the job.
Hey, sounds good to me because you can't be going backwards. You know what I'm saying? You got to go forward. I mean, we need a quarterback. I mean, I've been a fan since 1999, and – the best quarterbacks that we've had since I've been a fan. Brad Johnson, probably RG3, and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And that's not saying a lot, being that Kirk Cousins and RG3 didn't last, especially RG3. So,
yeah.
It's been rough, man. I've been through the Brunells. I've been through the Ty Collins. I've been through Donovan McNabbs and the Jason Campbells and Patrick Ramseys. And it goes on and on and on. You know, it goes on and on and on. So it's kind of like, you know, drafting a quarterback scares me. I'd rather just go ahead and just sign a veteran.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I guess I might be okay with Cam Newton. Hey,
I'm slowly coming around myself. Like it's not about if you really want him. It's about as a fan, just like the name change. For instance, at some point you have to become a realist and you have to understand what's likely. You know, start looking at the tea leaves, and he knows the system. There's no bad blood between him and Ron. And we just had that interview, you know, with him and Terry McLaurin, talking about Terry McLaurin with Chad Johnson, everybody else at the round table. So you just start to bring those things together. And he was just like, hey, he sounded like he's open to it. So I think it's a definite possibility right now.
Absolutely. So now let's finally transition to the wide receiver position. We have Terry McLaurin. And based off of what we have now, it's not a guarantee that Cam Sims comes back.
Right.
It's not a guarantee that Steven Sims Jr. comes back. I mean, we're going to have to improve that group. You have Kelvin Harmon, who's coming back off of injury. You have Antonio Gandy-Golden, which you would figure is most likely a lock. You don't draft a guy in the fourth round and just cut him the year after. So what do you see? What's the plan here at wide receiver? Let's start with free agency.
Yeah. Free agency, I'll be honest with you. it's bare. It's there's not a the talent level that Washington is looking for. You know, we keep hearing Samuel from Carolina as a potential slot option. Juju Smith-Schuster, we keep hearing his names. And I'll be honest with you, I just look at these guys and I can find these guys in the draft. So I'm not really seeing, you know, it worth the squeeze of paying $15-20 million for, you know, those two combined. Not just look at the market value. Yeah. You could probably get Samuel for around, I think it was around 10, and Juju, I think probably around 14-15, I heard.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That is a lot. so, you know, I think that if you just have to break down their game. Look at the, you know, you don't always look at box scores, but look at the box scores over the last couple of years. I look at how many games they've missed, how many games they played. And I'm seeing a lot of receivers in the draft that can fill those needs. Granted, they have experience production, but I don't feel like they need to go for a wide receiver one. I think Terry McLaurin's a wide receiver one. I think slot is the number one option. And I don't think you go get Samuel if you can get, if I can sit here and name five or six that you can get from, you know, second round to fifth round, why are you going to do that? So,
right. Hey, shout out to my guy, DMV Sports Zone. You guys follow this guy. This guy produces top notch content. Promise you guys. Appreciate you tuning in, brother. So my biggest free agent target was Allen Robinson.
Yes.
And that's at least a $20 million tag per year. I mean, he's that good. He's that elite. That's who I really wanted. But with the cap situation and even with, you know, Alex leaving, do you think that getting a Allen Robinson would be worth it?
No, because all the money involved, like I said, if we're talking about Bridge, that guy, number one, he's looking for a contender right now, or even not an established quarterback. So that's why I tell everyone, unless it's Samuel who has the Carolina connection, it doesn't really make sense for the marquee receivers to come to a team with, you know, Taylor didn't do enough against Tampa
that's
Bay
true.
Just because we
that's
loved true. His fans and we said, oh, well, maybe we could have beat him in the Super
Bowl. You're right.
We're better. but fact is, you know, there has to be some patience involved with the whole process.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I mean, I feel you, man. You know, that's my guy. But you're talking – I mean, you're putting things into a way that makes a lot of sense, especially for fans like me who was like, man, go get Allen Robinson and you got Terry over here and then you got Logan Thomas. Because, see, my mentality or my mindset is, you know, even if we did pay Allen Robinson some crazy kind of money, maybe – It's kind of like a contract that Amari Cooper has, to where maybe those last 2 years are not, you know, you can cut the guy and not have to eat that, because the way I look at it is Terry is going to be paid soon, and that's what a lot of fans are not understanding. And Terry is going to demand some money. He's going to demand some money. The defensive line is going to demand some money. But if you have the mentality that, hey, we're trying to win now, we obviously don't have the quarterback, you know what I'm saying? So it's like if we had the quarterback, then you got to go ahead and invest in that receiver.
You fill those pieces out, right? But you're not there yet, so that's not what you need to do.
Exactly.
All my articles, fans need to start focusing on tight end. I love Logan Thomas, but if you can put a true flex out on him and have him, you know, a little more in line, because he's a solid blocker, you know.
Right.
Brevin Jordan's a guy just wrote out of Miami. You know, this guy could be in the second round. This guy is – they line him up in the backfield, you know. There's just so many options. Fans get stuck to hear Allen Robinson, so then what they start to do is then list off all the guys that they see at Z or X receiver.
Right.
Like
right.
I said, I see slot receiver. You talk about Sims Jr., he's gone. Everything.
Yeah, he's out.
They're done with him. You know, he had that really nice catch, but he had five more horrible ones. So I think that slot is what you need. And, man, it just happens to be, like you talk about your favorite – a wide receiver, that's my favorite to evaluate. Yes, it's how I got started. And this draft, I just love the slot options. You want the speed, you got that. You want the short area quickness, you got that. You really have everything you want. And I don't think you – I love the idea of trading back. I'll be honest with you. The more I look at it, the more I look at what we're seeing.
Unless it just makes
sense.
Marquee
guy at number 19, I like the idea of trading back.
All right, so now let's shift gears to wide receivers in the draft. Now, at 19 – my dream is that your boy Waddle just free falls. Okay. That's my dream, but obviously that's most likely not going to happen. Right. But if it did happen, and if he's there at 19, I will be running to the podium to go ahead and give him that name. Right. So at 19, realistically, what receivers do you see there? And do you even take a wide receiver at 19?
It's a little stretch because, like you say, you're starting to get into third, fourth, fifth receivers at the position, because you're going to talk about Smith, Jamar Chase, and Waddle. And Waddle might actually go second to Jamar Chase. It might even go before him. I've heard that. It's crazy. We saw it last year with what happened to the Raiders.
Right.
But in the end, I got Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore, Purdue, man. I love him. But at 19, you have a guy that did some real damage against Ohio State, but then he missed a lot of games. So, you know, at 19, you know, I could put Kadarius Toney, but then you could start to see limited production, bad route, you know, route running needs a ton of work. They're good prospects, just not at 19. I think when you get to 19, you're going to have to look at offensive linemen, even though that's not my first choice at 19.
I know, right?
Middle linebacker right now is my number one target on defense. Zaven Collins, Nick Bolton, you know, there's some stars in this draft. So I think even though fans are stuck on, defense how many years in a row, that was a different regime. Okay.
Right.
This regime needs to fill holes. So you're going to either get the fourth receiver or you could get maybe the second middle linebacker in Zaven Collins. So
it's
best player available completely on the, is what's going to be for number 19, in my opinion.
And I love that plan. I mean, I've been hearing some names. I've heard Jock from Notre Dame, I believe. Zaven Collins is my favorite out of all of those guys. Then you got Nick Bolton, like you said. So there's some guys out there, and we're looking for that middle linebacker, that quarterback of that defense that can help take this defense to that next level. And if you can get the second best linebacker in this draft, you go ahead and do it. Forget, we need offense. And we still have to see what happens in free agency.
Right. But not even first round. Everyone thinks that to fix your offense, it's all got to be first rounds. Look at Washington's history. Jamison Crowder. Look at some of the best talent they've accumulated. Mm-hmm. It's been day three. That's why you'll see my site. I focus. I'm doing a lot more on some of the early rounds than I have in the past, but I stick with the small schools. Mm-hmm. I stick with, you know, the HBCU levels, you know, more. I'm hoping I'm right. But David Gramblin, I wrote a feature on him Senior Bowl, and I just did a spotlight on him. Well, Washington just sat down and interviewed with him. You know, there's always going to be that Doug Williams connection. Mm-hmm. But stars can be found out of the first round. So what I love to do and what, you know, we love to chop it up is try to let fans know, because everyone goes on mock drafts. But after you get through that first round, it starts to get lost in translation. Exactly. You know what I mean? So hopefully we can come in and – I don't consider myself a know-it-all. I just consider someone myself that loves to do this, watch the tape. And I feel like, you know, we can sit down and talk about this guy, that guy. You talked about Jock, you know, from Notre Dame. Man, great prospect. But the idea of him being a starting middle linebacker at 6 foot, 215 pounds, 210 pounds as a rookie is crazy. And I don't put a first round on him. So 19. He is a first round, but I'll put 19 on him. But again, it has to be system fit. And I think the only way to understand what they're going to do is look what Jack Del Rio has done, look what Rivera has done, look what Turner's done, try to bring them in the middle and do your own evaluations. That's what I tell people. Don't follow the sheep.
Hey, and we know that Jack Del Rio and Rivera love a nice middle linebacker. Hey, I mean, we've seen it over and over and over again. And, man, just imagine that front line, and then you got a middle linebacker that can cover – tackle, roam. I mean, the possibilities, and that's part of the reason why I do not want to trade 19 for a quarterback.
Right.
That's part of the reason, because if you're not getting the right quarterback, then what's the point? If you're going to trade 19 to get a quarterback, I mean, they better be a guy that's going to be here for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Because if you're trading and it's not the guy, then it's like, then what are we doing? You know, what are we doing? Let's just continue to build the right way. And so let's transition a little bit to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Offensive line, obviously, we have Brandon Scherff. Do you pay Brandon Scherff to make him the highest paid guard? Because him making the All-Pro was the worst thing that can happen to us. He makes that All-Pro, and then guess what? Price of admission just went up. They should have tried to get the deal done before the season started, but, you know, Ron Rivera being Ron Rivera, wanted to kind of see, you know, who he has. And so, I mean, you can't fault him. You can't blame him. Right. It was a whole new group. And he saw. And did he see? Oh, he saw. He saw all pro level guard. Now, what is your plan with that right guard position? Do you pay Scherff? Do you go a cheaper option and then use some of the money elsewhere?
See, I'm not – if it's a center, we could have a conversation here. But I'm just not someone that wants to see them put that kind of money into a guard, because – I just, like we just talked about, you know, Moore from Grambling, you know, this guy, I think you can bring those interior linemen in and you can really do a lot with them.
Right.
And if we didn't, if Brandon didn't miss games over the last 3 years, this be a moot point. Say, yeah, he's the number one guard. Let's do it. But man, right. Durability has been an issue. If you look at history at his age and at this contract, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. So I really hope that they don't. What I'm hearing is they could do a franchise again. I haven't looked at those numbers yet, but I heard it's in the upwards of 16, 17, 18 million. I'm not sure, but that's crazy. That's absolutely insane. You're talking about more than half right now, close to half. So right. I think interior linemen, I think you can find that in free agency in the draft. You don't go bargain shopping, but you also don't break the bank for that. So for me, I get a lot of slack from it because it's not that I don't watch them. I don't want to pay a guard that kind of money.
Hey, I totally feel you. So we'll see what happens there. I'm like half and half. I mean, obviously you want to protect your quarterback, but we don't have a quarterback. So, you know, it's one of those things to where, you know, we've been drafting offensive linemen, and Wes Swisher played very, very well. And we don't know what we have in Sadiq Charles. There's some talk.
Right.
Possibly play some guard. So if he's possibly going to be playing some guard and then we have all these draft picks in that third round, we can possibly do some magic and grab at least another either interior or exterior lineman. So there's so many possibilities. And then with free agency, there's lots of pretty good guards out there.
Oh, yeah. And I'll give you a name, you know, on the roster, you know, Keith Ishmael. People need to stop sleeping on him because he's mostly a center. But I really like what he can do as a guard. So if you don't see them re-sign Brandon Schiff, I'm telling you, they have. If I don't see that happening, that's going to make me feel better about the San Diego State kid because I liked his film. It's just offensive lineman. I have to say, it's one of the hardest positions to evaluate, especially interior, because it's, you know, depending on who's next to them, it can make them shine. And I'll be honest with you, Morgan Moses, he had the year. I think Brandon Schraff had a really good year, but I think it had a lot more to do with Morgan Moses's play. I was blown away, and I think you can put a guard there, and Morgan will help him. But I think right now, like you mentioned, Sadiq Charles, when he came in, I thought if it doesn't work at tackle, he can slide inside. So I think that they've seen enough, and I see no reason. You talked about Schweitzer, man. That guy outplayed, you know.
Right.
Martin, I mean, he's disappointed me, Martin. So, you know, I think that it's a lot easier to find interior linemen than it is outside guys. So I think rather than pay him, let him test for agency. Let somebody else pay him. That's just my thing. I don't think this line was lights out enough for us to say, pay the man.
I totally get it. Like, I mean, he hasn't been durable. He misses a lot of games, but when he plays, he's pretty good. But it's kind of like, he's good. He's very good. But it's like just like you say, an interior lineman making that kind of money, that's crazy. And we don't want to be the guys that start that, you know, start that
trend again. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, look, we can do some things in free agency, and then we can also add depth. And then, hey, full out competition. Let's see what happens. And then we have a pretty good offensive line coach. So I'm not too worried there, you know what I'm saying, in terms of whether we sign Sheriff or not, because we have a lot of holes. Yeah. And, I mean, the offensive line surprised us as the season went on. And had we had good quarterback play, that offensive line might have been even possibly top 3 to 5 based off of – I mean, we've seen what they've looked like with a guy like Heinicke, or when Allen was healthy, you saw – you know, some pretty good sample size right there. But when you get guys like Alex Smith, who had one leg, or Dwayne Haskins, who can't see, that's blind, I mean, the offensive line looked bad. So it was that same offensive line that's been there all year. It's just that the quarterback play kind of predicated whether they were really, really good or really, really bad. Right. Now, in the draft, I've been seeing some mocks, and I've been seeing the guy, Darisaw, from Virginia Tech, fall to us at 19. Talk to me a little bit about him.
Man, this guy is really good. It's hard for me because I really like offensive linemen, but I just like a lot of other guys in the draft. But this guy's a mauler. He's day one. You plug him in. But do I see him as, you know, a blindside 10-year guy? I'm not sure. I think he can be really, really good. Right now, the kid from Northwestern, Slater, biggest name, the kid out of Oregon. I'm blanking on a name right now, but those are the two guys right now to me are the can't-miss guys. Everybody other than those guys, I don't know. I'd feel more comfortable in the latter part of first round taking those guys because I think 1 to 25, you've got a ton of defensive and offensive skill players, and I think those offensive linemen, like I said, you'll see
the Oregon kid and the Northwestern kid, and I think after that there'll probably be a drop off. Virginia Tech, the Virginia guy, Darsaw, I think I have him more in the later part of the first round, because I think at 19, 20 through 25, there's just too many skill players available.
Makes a lot of sense. So now let's transition to defense. But before then, running back, man. Look, I love Gibson.
Yeah,
he transitioned well. He's learned that position, and he's getting better and better and better. J.D. McKissic, awesome third down back. But where my issue is, where we need to fix the team is, what are we doing in RB2? What are we doing?
Yeah, and you know what? That's not a bad position to be in, because I was hoping to see Gibson utilize more in the passing game, because that's what he is. You know, he's a big receiver. He's a throwback. Back in the day, you know, that guy that played fullback, receiver, linebacker.
Right.
He's just that good. So I really want to see a more of a pound the tackles, but a guy that can, you know, catch the ball. There's definitely some guys in this draft in the later portions, but I think free agency, you know, you're talking about Jones from Green Bay. He's a guy that I think really fits what Ron Rivera and Turner want to do. I think you bring him in, and then you have your changeup with McKissic, and you have Gibson. I think you keep Gibson and him in the backfield at the same time, because you have two options that can run out.
Aaron Jones.
And he's a legit blocker. So, look, you know, we're not talking about $8, $9 million. I think you can get him for $5 million or $6 million. And I think if you really have a plan and you have a good selling point to how you're going to use him, he, of course, wants to be a feature back.
Right.
But I think if you kind of pitch the idea that, you know, he's going to be the back and these guys are going to really help a lot more in the swing game and things like that, you can get it done. But if you go in the draft, you can get those guys. You're just going to have to be a little more patient. But I think if you bring in someone like him, that would be someone I'd be more eager to give the money to than another Z receiver that I'm not sure. Because, again, I scouted AGG for 2 years, and people have already given up on him. I don't know why. You know, because a lot of transitioning from Liberty to the NFL is a huge – this guy is 6'5", you know, solid receiver, but smart as hell. These guys don't flop out. I'm telling you, worst-case scenario, he's a possession. Ceiling, he's a Pro Bowler. So I feel like you got him at the Z. You got McLaurin over there. You need slots. You know, you don't get one slot. You get two, three slots. And look at what they have at Kansas City. You know, you have Hardman. You have all the guys, you know, over there. So I think speed. That's what I want to see for offense this offseason. And yet I don't think you have to overdraft in the first round to find that.
Okay. Hey, and if we get Jones, man, I'm going to be – I'm going to go crazy. I'm a big fan of Aaron Jones. In fantasy, I've kind of slept on him the last couple years, and he just continues to prove me wrong each and every single time. There's some intriguing names out there. Of course, you got Jamal Williams. We'll see what happens with the whole Green Bay thing. They got A.J. Dillon. So they're definitely going to move on from one or two of those guys. You have a guy like James Conner out there. You got a Mark Ingram. So there's all these different names, all these different talented guys that are going to come relatively cheap. Because the market is going to be, I mean, running backs are thinking that they're going to get paid, but they're not going to get paid like they think they're going to get paid.
Gordon saw how that happened. He held down. Yes, sir. They're not going. It's not time yet. It's not going
to
happen.
Right. You're going to see a lot of guys go for $3 to $7 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, in this market, a running back is lucky to get seven. Some team is going to overpay. You got a team like Miami who is a running back away from being something special. Of course, they need another wide receiver, but really, if they get a running back, they can really, really, really go far offensively. So you're going to have teams like that might overpay.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like who's going to pay a running back? And if they do, it's going to be a short-term type deal. You know what I'm saying? Prove it type deal. So let's see what happens. There's tons of running backs, like, you know, just like I said, we'll see what happens with Chris Carson. That's another guy who, you know, can run through the middle, run outside, and then he's a pretty good receiver. So we know that Ron Rivera and Scott Turner, they preach versatility. So whoever they were bringing in, you have to be a guy that can pound it and then also be able to catch the ball. A prime example is Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys were down on him, you know, last season, and he just got into that perfect system. And then when you play with a guy like Tom Brady, he's going to find that running back.
Right.
And if you can catch just a little bit, Tom Brady will make you look amazing. He does that over and over and over again. You see LeGarrette Blount, you know, of course he didn't catch the ball, but he could have. But I mean, it's just a system type thing. So I'm excited for running back. I think if we can fix that RB2 position, if we can just find that guy, they can get the tough yards. And because there's going to be times where if Gibson is banged up, you don't want to rely on JD McKissick, you know, being your premier running back. So I think that was a area of the team that we took for granted. Peyton Barber played okay in spurts. You know, he got those 1 yard touchdowns, but
Adrian Peterson should have stayed. That honestly, out of everything he's done, I'm on board with Riverboat, but why he moved on. I'm telling you right now, I think Adrian Peterson would have been the difference of another win or two. And that could have been the difference who they faced in the first round. And and I think if you have that running game going into the playoffs, you can do something. So that was a bad move. But in saying that, again, we'll give him some slack because he did a hell of a job. And I think, like you said, you can find that pound between the tackles guy. I don't really think it's that hard. We saw how Fournette, these guys, former first rounders, that become available. And this free agency, what's going to happen? There's guys going to get drafted. Travis Etienne out of Clemson. Some teams are going to reach on them, and then what they're going to do is you're like, why did they take them? They have a running back. Next thing you know, they have running backs. So right now, free agency is closer than draft, but the draft is more easily to see, in my opinion, because free agency is very unpredictable right now. So I think we'll have the guys that we like. Jones, he's one of the top of the list of running back. But a lot of the positions I feel that Washington need isn't the strength of free agency. So I think just stick to your plan. And just, you know, solidify that defense. Because everyone saw with that Ravens team with Trent Dilfer. You know what I mean? And it's not saying everybody can emulate that kind of play, but they had a really good offensive line. Lights out defense. I see no reason why Washington can't do that next year, this season.
And let me ask you this. Out of all the running backs that are in the draft, will there be a running back drafted in the first round this year?
I like we talk about Travis Etienne. I keep bringing him up because he does a lot. But, you know, later in the season with Clemson, I think that he kind of pushed back into that first pick of the second round. But no, I don't see a first round. I think that there'll be like the first 2-3 picks in the second round. You're going to see like running back, receiver, running back. So I think that's the way it'll go.
And tell me if this is a true statement or a false statement. The top three running backs in the draft is Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, and I think it's Javonte Williams. Is it Williams?
Williams, yeah.
From North Carolina.
I'm an Alabama fan, so I have Harris and Etienne, you know, neck and neck, 1A, 1B, and it's because their skill set. So
no, absolutely.
It's really about what team and what they're running. But, yeah, those are the two right there. But I think when you go to 3, 4, 5, you can start going like scat backs. The team might, you know, they might have a solid back, but they want to get that third down receiving back. So, you know, I mentioned a guy, you know, day three, Jared Patterson out of Buffalo, you know, 400 yards, 7 touchdowns in 1 game. They look at the small school level, but man, the kid can run between the tackles. He can get small. And even though he wasn't used as a receiver, he has soft hands when they did that. So, you know, there's guys that they can, you know, find in that later portion. So I think that after 1 and 2, it's all about what it's all about.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, because I mean, just like you said, that man, that Buffalo kid, he's nice. And then you got a guy like Sermon, he's out there. So this draft, even though I'm not a college guy, I keep my ears open, I keep my eyes open, I'm seeing things, I'm learning things. Once it gets closer to draft, I'm almost a pro because by that time I've studied, I've learned, I've talked to people like you, I've talked to Josh and all these awesome guys that know college. Then I'm like knowledgeable. Then I'm like, okay, that's that guy that he was telling me about. Oh, that's that guy. So this is like a fun pod because the fans, they get to learn about all these different guys in the draft and kind of, you know, have guys to, you know, look at and look forward to. And then possibly when we do get that guy, it's kind of like, oh, wow, man, we got this guy. Last year I was big on AGG. I mean, I looked at receivers like Edwards and so many different guys. And then I mean, I was like each time a receiver was taken, I was like, oh, man. And then when we got AGG, I was excited. I also wanted Tyler Johnson from Minnesota. Yeah, and I think he was picked a pick before us. And I was I mean, had we gotten him and AGG, we won't be talking wide receivers right now. I mean, I think those two guys are going to be up and coming. But AGG, it might take him just a little bit more time. See, Terry McLaurin has spoiled a lot of us because he came in that first game versus the Eagles, and boom, then it's kind of like, oh, this guy is good. Because a lot of us, you know, that don't really follow the college game, we look at highlights. We look at highlights and we call it studying film, you know. So we look at highlights and then, you know, you see Terry McLaurin highlights, then you see Kelvin Harmon highlights. Of course, you're going to say Kelvin Harmon. Oh, man, this guy. But then after that first game, we're like, who is this Terry McLaurin kid? Yeah. So it's kind of like us fans just have to kind of take a step back, breathe, trust.
Listen to people. That's what I say. Listen, you know, when I'll put an article out or something like this, man, you can tell who read it and who didn't. Because, you know, they're going on, well, you need to just listen. You know, I understand not everyone wants to click things. They call clickbait. Someone call my thing clickbait, which to me is the biggest insult, because that's what I go out of my way not to piggyback on. But, you know, just listen to everyone. You know, I did the Scouting Academy. You know, my guy Josh, he's doing it now. Mm-hmm. You know, he picks my brain a little bit. Hey, what do you think about this? You know, what do we think about this? When you get to a point, and I'm not going to name names on here because nobody has to know, but we see the ones on Twitter that really are threatened by other people and they don't want to share their information. And the second they have a rightful, they want the clout, they want this. I think the only way to be successful, and we saw tonight with the podcast, the nomination for Washington, all four of those podcasts, including yours, I'm proud to say I've been on. But the reason they're on there is one reason only, because it's a network. Because everyone believes that although everyone's competing, everyone needs the views, we're all better together. And by the time from now to draft time with COVID, with, you know, it's being so different, like you said, about being an expert. If people just spend the time to really, you know, talk to everyone and, you know, figure out what your team needs. And not what everyone else is saying, like Mac Jones at 19. No, that's just some college evaluator. That's somebody, whatever, that people, you know, people talk about. Why would they say that? Well, when you start to do this for a while and, you know, some people I DM, some people they answer something. But what I've learned along the years is people like Mel Kiper and those people, they get tapes, they get things from agents, they get this. So to say that they're not compromised would be a stretch, because if you go back in the previous drafts and look 30 days before and 30 days after, you'll never see me totally do a 180 in 30 days. They do every single year. That's just not evaluated. From a 30-day stretch, especially there's no combine this year, so there's a lot more projection, because if Mac Jones went to the combine, I'm telling you right now, they would not put him in the first round. There's just so much they're sitting on tape. So, you know, you just have to do your work, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, like in the back of my mind, and I've seen people tweet this, and this is funny to me. They're like, what if Mac Jones ends up being a Tom Brady-like type player? And, you know, it doesn't sound too crazy, because you never know what happens. It's about, like we always talk about, people getting into that right system. You know, he can get into that right system that, similar to Alabama, to where he has, I mean, weapons left and right, you know. I think right now, what team can he possibly go to that he can kind of have some kind of level of success? And I think of a team, maybe the Saints. I'm just saying, I'm not saying like day one starter. I am not saying that. But, you know, a system to where you can be groomed and cultivated to become who you need to become. Let's say he goes to a team like the Saints and they're loaded at every position, you know, and he just has to just do the bare minimum. And then you continue to learn. A lot of these quarterbacks from back in the day, not too much back in the day, like you look at guys like Ben Roethlisberger, he wasn't called in to come out there and be what he is now. You know what I'm saying? He was able to, you know, come in and slowly but surely grow. What up, Warpath? It's my guy right here, man. You know, he was able to, you know, come in and grow, and then he became that guy. Tom Brady, same way. Defense, running game, coaching, and then he became that guy. So sometimes I think the way that things are going now, I don't like it. These quarterbacks come in and then you're expecting them to have a Patrick Mahomes type level of success, which is not realistic. But then you do have some quarterbacks that can come in and play right away. And then some, it just kind of takes some time. You know what I'm saying? So Sam Darnold, what are your thoughts on Sam Darnold?
I think if he was a free agent, I think Washington would worth sniffing around. But if you're talking about giving like real assets, like anything beyond, you know, if you're talking about second, third, I don't know, maybe you could talk about, but I don't think you bring him in. He's not a bridge. If you're bringing Sam down, then you're giving him a contract. You're not gonna, you know, so I think that discussion should be out. I think a lot of in the media are hyping up because they see new coach, new quarterback. You know, like I said, you know, Robert Saleh brought in one of the LaFleur brothers. I really think they're going to try it for a year, because you see how hard it is to find a quarterback. if Lawrence was on the board with him, I'd say of course. But I think it's 50-50 with Wilson because Wilson's really, really good.
Right.
But also keep in mind this is a defensive mind oriented head coach. We don't know how much level of power he has, but what we're seeing a trend of a lot of these coaches is they are given a level of power with their rosters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to look into this situation, and I think they'll roll with Donald for 1 year and then go into next year with it. So, because you, like I said earlier, you can get a lot of picks for that. But Darnold, I just think he hasn't done enough for a team to come along and say, okay, we're going to give you a second and a conditional first, second.
Exactly.
You know, we're talking about Matt Stafford. They offered a first round and a third round. So now let's go backwards. We'll say what, a second and a fourth round?
Right.
I wouldn't do it for Darnold. No, I don't, because I don't think, I think it's all projection with him.
Mm-hmm. And I think I either said this in a pod or I said it on a tweet. I don't even know, but I talk a lot. So I was like, if I'm the Jets, you keep Darnold. You keep him. He's on a rookie deal. What do you have to lose? You bring in the rookie. You have them compete.
Yeah.
You know, if Wilson comes in and beats out Sam Darnold right away, then, hey, you know what you have in Sam Darnold. But if Sam Darnold does what they think he can do, win that job, if his value goes up, you can always trade him midseason. Then you're like, you know what? I got something here. If he starts to tear it up, right, then you've already taken Wilson number two. You're like, oh, man, this guy is good. That means it was Gase. that means Adam Gase was just terrible. So, you know, that's a good problem to have for them. So we'll see how that shakes out. Let's talk cornerback for a little bit. So you have Darby, who played phenomenal. But is Darnold a guy that if he's not on the team, does it hurt the team not signing Darby, or do you look elsewhere? Because he's going to want to get paid.
Well, he's gonna get paid. He had a good enough year last year where, from what I understand, he's probably going to command $8 million range. And I personally don't think you pay that for him because he'll probably get closer to 10 based on, you know, the market and demand.
Exactly.
I love Jimmy Moreland, and I think you still develop him. I really love Fuller. So right there you have a 2-2 and a 2-B. So you're looking for that number one corner. Man, I make a run at Peterson, you know, from
might as well.
You know, I looked at his market. It was actually lower than I thought. He'll be 31 in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about his market. I think the market value per spot track was under $11 million.
Okay.
You're paying Fuller $8 million. So I think if you can get him, that's your free agent. Other than that, like, it's slim pickings, man, that you go back to the draft.
Exactly. I mean, Peterson right now, at this age, is better than Darby. I mean, it's not even close.
You're talking about it's going to be barely a difference in money. So
exactly. So if you're talking about Darby $8-9 million or Peterson $10-11 million, that's where you go. Maybe you give him a 2-3 year deal. Nothing too outrageous. Not no 5 years.
You incentive laid it. You throw 5-6 interceptions. You know, that's an escalator to another $10 million.
Exactly.
Because if you're getting five, six interceptions from him, you probably have the number one or two defense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And you know, I think we're going to attract some kind of cornerback here. I know a lot of people have been focusing on the offense because that's been the problem, but we got to focus on these little bitty things like the running back too, and, you know, the right guard, left guard, what do we do with that? You know, but you look at corner, if we can get the right corner.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, playing. Look, Chase Young, like you said, is going to bring a lot of people here. Who does not want to play with this line? And you got to play with this line before it's broken up. Because as things, we're going to get into that as the last segment of the show. But hey, if I'm a corner, or if I'm a safety, I'm running into DC. That's where I want to be. Because
and the thing is, and like I said, I think people think the 3, 4, 5 years, it's going to be a lot of 2-year deals going on. But the NFLPA I just read today is getting involved, and they're putting letters to the owners with the agents, about the agents sharing information with each other, because they don't want these owners to collude and try to lowball everyone with these low ones.
Right.
So I think you'll see the 2 years, but you're still going to see 10, 15 million. Like you said, Patrick Peterson, Marcus 10.
Right.
Maybe 10, maybe 12 to 15, because it's a 2-year deal. So you're going to see a lot more money up front like that. It's going to be a little different in the past. But, man, you got it. When you have a defensive line like this, you know you're not – there's a window. So now it's ticks. I think right now, my opinion is it's a 3-year window with this defense.
Right.
I think you can have ultimate ceiling. I think, luckily, Sweat and Young will probably have them at least for that 4 or 5 years. But when you hit those two, one of them is going to leave. It's not going to be Young.
Right.
So.
Right.
people talk about the Watson trade. Oh, you can't throw in Sweat. I love Sweat. I don't want to do it either. But right. eventually, I do think I loved him coming out, and I had him as my top 10 guy. And to get him at the end of first round, I was psyched. But it's slowly going to have to figure out. Sweat's safer now, but you're going to have to move one of those people inside. So as a cornerback, you're looking for a team, and you're like, man, their problem is they have too much talent that they can't pay. And I can come in here and maybe on a two-year deal, even Peterson, someone else, and he gets 6-7 interceptions, and he's 33 years old going to free agency. He'll get paid again. But if he comes in, you know, there's so many factors that go into this. Right. But I just think for the first year in a long time, our defense can attract defensive free agents. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Washington fans should focus on. It's less likely to have big-time names on offense because what are they coming to right now?
Awesome. So we got two more topics. Free safety. There's a guy that you and I love in the draft. But what do you see as a plan in free agency if we can't get our guy in a draft? So talk free agency, then talk draft.
Boston, man. My guy out of Carolina for the past 2 years, people are like, whoa, you know, he's this and that. But again, not everyone has to be an all pro, you know.
Exactly.
Whatever. You know, you're talking about what would it look like with Boston and Curl. Man, the thought of that makes me – because if you just look what Boston did, like someone argued the other day, over the last 5 years, it's four or five years, it's three teams. But okay, he's three teams. Look how many interceptions he had all these years. I think it was 13 interceptions in 3 years before last year. So I think you can get someone like him. There's no one, I think, you know, there's a couple wild cards that might be available. Harrison Smith, there's a couple, but I think those guys are going to stay put. So I think, you know, that's your guy. And I think it's not a bargain basement move. It's somebody that was with Rivera, very familiar with what they want to do. I think it would be a great move to bring him in. And again, you know, our guy out of, what's it called? I'm blanking. Rich again. I always get confused. I said Wake Forest and Purdue. But no, he's awesome. And somehow they can get him. But I still think, like you said, middle linebacker and free safety, it's one or the other. You got to get one in free agency and one in the draft.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I like Lavonte David from Tampa Bay in free agency.
My top choice.
Right. So I think you have to get one of those in free agency, a top level, you know, middle linebacker free agency, and go in the draft and just try to solidify those pieces. Because we talk about Zaven Collins, and we're not the only ones talking about him, man.
He's right.
Boards, you know, so the thought of, you know, Micah Parsons and him are probably going to be gone. Mm-hmm. I love Nick Bolton. I'll have an article coming out soon, but 19's too rich. So,
all right. So, I mean, we have pretty much covered the quarterback, wide receiver two, slot wide receiver. We covered tight end one or two, depending on, you know, who comes in. We've talked about the offensive line, both interior, exterior. We've covered middle linebacker, corner, safety. I mean, we've pretty much hit the bulk of this thing.
Yes, sir.
But the golden question for you is, what do we do with the defensive line? I mean, we've hit on it a little bit, but you got Big Matt that you've paid. He's on a pretty good contract. You have Settle. You know, he's coming up. You have Jonathan Allen, who's a free agent after this season, correct?
He's on the fifth year right now, yeah.
So fifth year right now. And I'm glad that we gave him that fifth year when we did, because if we didn't, we'll be trying to figure it out right now. And then you have Payne, who's going to be coming up. And then after Payne, then that's when you got the Sweat and then Young. And so it's kind of like all these different decisions, all these different things that you have to do. For me, I would rather go Settle and Matt or one of those. And then it's going to have to be – because, I mean, it's going to be impossible. If I had a post – and my post said, I don't care what happens to anybody on that defensive line. I want Chase Young and Sweat together for a decade.
Yes.
And for that to happen, literally, you have to let Payne and Allen go.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know. So, but I feel like with the way that things are going, maybe you get a Settle on a good contract similar to what you gave Matt. Maybe slightly less. It might take slightly less. Just all depends if you extend them early. If you don't extend them early and you let these guys get into free agency, that's where it kind of gets kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, so what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on our four super interior linemen?
Yeah. I'll start with the forgotten man, not by you, not by me, but Matt Ioannidis. You know, to think what he's going to be able to do next year. I'm excited. Ooh. And I with his contract, moving him makes no sense because it's minimal compared to what we're talking about. The writing on the wall I'm hearing is if Brandon Schreff is re-signed, Allen's out, and vice versa. So I think if we see Allen get extended, it'll be pretty high. It'll probably be higher than Washington fans want to see. But I think they'll be paying for leadership. They're paying for future output, things like that. But like you said, I just don't see how long-term they probably keep Deron Payne. You know, I really love him, and I wish they could get him more together. But I think it's more likely that you see the interior between Aceto, Allen, and Ioannidis. You know, that
it's not bad.
Right. And, you know, I think they'll be able to probably hold on to this unit through this year. But so if they extend Allen, I think what that'll do is that'll give you an extra year to make the decision. And I think you can go into the 2022 draft thinking which one you're going to move. And it's all going to be, you know, what the salary, what it looks like. And Deron Payne, if he has another good year like this, that'll be a prime asset to put on.
And can't we fifth year Deron Payne and then – figure out what we're doing. Like, I just want to keep these guys together.
He's going to be, you know, short answer, he's going to be the most marketable trade. If you're talking about interior, Allen's not. Ioannidis, granted, not a big injury, but people aren't looking to extend him big time. It's Deron Payne. Right now, if the offer was on the table, let's just say, you know, a second round, fourth round, whatever, and they go ahead and do it, he's going to go to a team. He's going to become one of the highest paid defensive tackles in the NFL. Ooh. That's how it's going to work. So. Yeah. I think by extending Allen, they can buy themselves some time. So I think that's most likely we're going to see. We'll keep that interior, you know, set for this year. But, you know, 2022 is when we start to see it breaking up a little bit. Hopefully you see some guys rise, you know, from the backups, from the other roles to I think Settle's a guy I love. I showed him total transformation. I definitely think he can be a starter.
Right. Oh, one more position before we get off here. I forgot about this position, and I don't know why. We need depth at the pass rush. We need depth at the edge because we're going to be losing Ryan Kerrigan. He's gone. I don't see any scenario where Ryan Kerrigan comes back. He wants to be a starter on a contender.
Yeah.
We are on borderline contender right now. We're playoff contender, at least not Super Bowl contenders yet. So I don't see Ryan Kerrigan coming back. So we have Smith Williams, and who can we get out there in free agency or even in a draft? I think we probably go draft. I think that's probably going to be the cheaper route.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere in the fourth, fifth round, some kind of edge rush to help. Do you see anybody that can possibly help the team in the fourth, fifth round?
First time you're getting me stumped here. I'm a little early because that is probably the position that I have. I usually get closer when the position heavy that we have, like rush end, I'll probably get more into that, you know, 3 weeks, maybe closer to the draft. Right now, I don't see that as a need. I see, like you said, day three people. And we'll get into those. You'll see my prospect cards update up until the draft. And that's when I'm going to start putting a lot of those depth guys.
Okay.
But right now, nobody really to talk about. You know, we'll talk about more of the Senior Bowl guys in a couple months, a couple weeks leading up to the draft. But right now, there's no really name that you're going to, unless you're talking about a guy that you're going to bring in to be a starter. There's no really, you know, I sat down, had a great interview with Jason Smith-Williams, you know, before the season starts. And I just read and learned so much about him. I like him in that role. So I think you're not talking about a third. You're talking about them finding a fourth pass rusher. So think, you know, there's going to be a lot of names of free agency in the draft. But Jason Smith-Williams, this is a guy that was just starting to show some of his potential in NC State when he dealt with some nagging injuries. But after his interview, everything that we talked about, I'm confident that those days are behind him. He didn't have any real setbacks this year. That's a guy to watch this year, Jason Smith-Williams, because he's going to have a lot more snaps. Also, the guy that was with us, was it Tuitt? I think it was that guy. Was like, I'm blanking on his name. I was a white guy, like 6'6". That's another guy that they'll definitely bring back.
Nice.
Or Tuitt, I can't remember his name, but yeah.
All right, so since you're so great with the small school guys and, you know, the guys that nobody really get to know, or give me three names on offense in the draft and three names on defense in the draft that we should keep an eye out for.
Yeah, again, just getting in, but the couple guys that I've wrote up so far is we wrote about David Moore from Grambling. He's a guard, left guard, right guard. I like him a left guard the most. That's what he's, you know, really thrived on the most, but people are really knocking him down because I think he's just a shade over 6'1" or change, but he's 345 pounds, but when he gets out in space, he's a mauler. Just go look at his tape. You know, there's not a ton of great YouTube out there. There's some, but what he keeps doing is every time he knocks someone down, he follows up and jumps on him. That's old that I love. So that's my right now he's on my number one small school list. A guy that I like is undrafted range. A guy that actually went to Alabama. He was behind some of the best quarterbacks, including Mac Jones, Tua. His name is Lane Hatcher, Arkansas State. A lot of people looked at him 6 foot, think shade over 210, small guy. And, you know, I got some chuckles out of it, but I call him the Johnny Manziel without the attitude, because he really does a lot of what Manziel does, and he learned at Alabama. You know, so you're not talking about just some random small school guy who's Alabama. You know, he realized he wasn't going to see time and he entered the transfer portal. So right now, those are my two main guys. We haven't dug into the defense as much, but there is a kid out of, I think it's North Carolina Central, called him Mac. So he's one of the guys that we'll be talking about, teasing him in the next couple weeks. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show. Before you get off, how can the people find you on social media?
Always a pleasure. Yeah, you can find me at the BNG Report. But the biggest news that we've had is, you know, you've seen it, everyone's seen our new site that has come out, our virtual football prospect player cards. Just click our site, go to the draft prospect cards. We've developed it custom for Washington fans. You click the card, you get the full evaluation, YouTube, everything you need. We have Washington News directly on our site. No need to go to Washington News. We bring it over every day. The Burgundy and GoldReport.com. Everything you need, one-stop shop.
Hey, those prospect cards, I love it, man. I've already started playing around with it, man. I'm like, I feel like I'm a pro, and I'm like, yeah, man, this is this guy, man. And, you know, this is his strengths, weakness, this is what he does. So those prospect cards are awesome, guys. You guys go check them out. Adam, like I said, he's one of the best guys in the business. I'm telling you guys, somebody's going to hire this guy, and you're going to see him on TV. And I can say, hey, this guy's been on my show a few times. It's always a nice time chopping up with you. Guys, once again, this is the Back Row Redskins Show. I am your host, Manny. Be sure to follow me on social media at the Back Row Redskins. And we got some great stuff coming on YouTube. So follow the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube. You guys stay safe and y'all be blessed. We out. All right, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night, man.
Absolutely. You too.